This was the first time I had been at a gathering of my own kind since I had joined Tavernor, and I was looking forward to it keenly. Here, I felt, my foot would be on my native heath. With Tavernor I always felt somewhat a fish out of water. But, as the different papers were read, and the discussions carried on, I found a peculiar sensation stealing over me. When I was with Tavernor, my mind seemed to move slowly and clumsily by comparison, but by comparison with these men, my mind moved with a lightning speed and lucidity. As each fresh set of phenomena was described, I seemed to penetrate into the hidden life that actuated it. I did not see, as Marius saw, with clairvoyant light, but I knew things with an unerring intuition which I could not even explain to myself. Still less could I explain it to others. And after one attempt to take part in the discussion, in which, it is true, I carried all before me, I withdrew into a silence which I allowed no probings to dispel. Over my soul there came a sense of utter solitude as I moved among these, my professional brethren. I felt as if I were looking in at a window rather than sharing in the conference. Until I returned to my old haunts I had not realized how far I had come along the path that Tavernor trod, living always in his atmosphere, hearing his viewpoint. My soul had become tuned to the keynote of his, and I was set apart from my fellows. I knew I could enter into no relationship outside the strange, unorganized brotherhood of those who follow the secret path, and yet I was not of these either. An invisible barrier shut me off from them also, and I could not enter into their life. The conference terminated in a dinner, and I set out for this function in great turmoil of mind. More and more was borne upon me the fact of my isolation from those I had always regarded as my herd and looked to for support. More and more was borne upon me the need to push aside the veil behind which I had been vouchsafed many a momentary glimpse. The fact that I was Tavernor's daily companion did not give me the right to pass behind the veil, however. I had, as it were, to enter the house of my soul and walk out through the back door. I cannot describe it better than that the curious interning which I felt I had to perform. I had always feared that the inner depths of my soul were full of Freudian complexes and the things that wreck careers, and it was this idea that constituted a barrier, but now I realized what Marius had done for me during the weeks of constant companionship with his strange mind, the absolute naturalness of his outlook and the entire absence of any of the conventional social doctrines had gradually changed my sense of values. Like a silversmith, I did not look only at the elaborate workmanship of an object, but weighed the actual metal it contained. Consequently there were some things I had valued highly which I no longer feared to lose. And as I realized that I no longer valued the things that most men value, I suddenly felt that I dared reach out towards the things of the unseen which I had long secretly coveted in spite of all my denials but had never dared to touch lest I should wreck my career by so doing. Oblivious to the crowded room and the prosing of the chairman, lost in a brown study, I pondered these things. I looked my life squarely in the face, and when I had finished, all the values were reassessed. I had indeed entered the house of life and passed through all the chambers. And then, spontaneously and without effort, I opened the back door to my soul and stepped out into the wide and starry astral night. I saw infinite space crossed and recrossed by great rays and sensed the passage of innumerable presences. Then one of the rays fell across me and I felt as if something in my innermost substance caught fire and shone. The fit of abstraction passed and I became aware of my surroundings once more. The same speaker was prising, no one had noticed my inattention. Time and space play no part in psychic experiences. To my relief the dinner was nearing its end. And I escaped from the stewing atmosphere, heavy with reek of food and cigars, into the garish London night. There was no place here, however, where I could be alone with my thoughts, for humanity crowded about me. I had to have space and darkness for my soul to breathe in. Late as it was, I gathered up my belongings, got out the car, and set out down the Portsmouth Road on the long road to Hindhead. It was a road of many memories for me. Those who have read these chronicles know how often Taverner and I had raced up and down it on one or another of the adventures into which I had been led by my association with that strange and potent personality. It is true that I knew very little more about Taverner than I did at the beginning, but, ye gods, how much more I knew about myself. Supposing, I thought, Taverner and I for any reason were to part company, how would I manage to return to the world of men and find my place therein? Would I not be as alien as Marius? Those who enter the unseen never really return, and unless I could find companionship in the place where I had gone, I should pass my life in spiritual solitude, with a terrible nostalgia of the soul for the bright places I had glimpsed. Absorbed in my thoughts, I ran on past the turn that led to the nursing home, and it was not until the engine cried out for a change of gear that I realized that I was climbing the heights of Hindhead. Below me lay the mist-filled hollow of the Punchbowl, looking like a lake in the moonlight, and above me the great Celtic cross that gives rest to the souls of hanged men was silhouetted against the stars. All was very still and no air moved. In that enormous stillness of the open heaths, remote from all human life and thought, I felt the presence of an unseen existence above me, like walking through invisible water. The engine had come to a standstill on the gradient, and about me was absolute silence and darkness. Something was near. I knew it, and it was reaching out towards me, yet it could not touch me, for I had to take the first step. Should I do it? Should I dare to step outside the narrow limits of human experience into the expanse of wider consciousness that was all about me? Should I open that door which never can be closed again? Above me on the hill the great granite cross cut the stars, a Celtic cross, with the circle of eternity superimposed on the outheld arms of renunciation. The mist had come up and blotted out the low-lying land over towards Frensham till I seemed to be alone on a crater of the moon. Cut off from all human influences, high up on the stark heights of the moors, I met my soul face to face while the unseen life that rose like a sea drew back as if to give me room for my decision. And I hesitated, longing to plunge into that wonderful life, yet dreading it, when suddenly something gripped me by the heart and pulled me through. I cannot describe it better than that. I had passed an invisible barrier and was on the other side of it. Consciousness steadied again. The world was unchanged, there above my head still loomed the great cross, and yet in all things there was a profound difference, for to me, they had suddenly become alive. Not only were they alive, but I shared in their life, for I was one with them, and then I knew that, isolated though I must always be in the world of men, I had this infinite companionship all about me. I was no longer alone, for, like Taverner, Marius, and many others, I had passed over into the unseen. End. Short on New Alexandria Publications. It is the purpose of New Alexandria Publications to acquire, maintain and distribute occult works in relation to the Western mystery tradition for the purpose of preserving them for the future and protecting them from becoming lost in time. It is for this purpose that the present edition has been created. The original material contained within this volume has fallen into the public domain. Under international law, copyright expires on December 31st of the 50th anniversary of the author's death. No provisions exist to extend or renew this copyright. Therefore, any material created by that author may not be copyrighted or controlled by any individual or agency after that date. New Alexandria Publications is dedicated to helping preserve public domain documents by ensuring their continued existence in easily distributable formats. All proceeds from the sale of this book go towards the continued mission of New Alexandria and are used to cover the cost of procuring and scanning new material for publication and distribution. Short about the author, Dion Fortune. 1891-1946. Dion Fortune is one of the most important names in modern occultism. Writing prolifically in both fiction and non-fiction, Fortune contributed greatly to the available knowledge of the Western mystery tradition. Born Violet Firth, Miss Fortune was a student of Freudian psychology and the psychoanalytic method before entering into the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn in 1919. Her understanding of psychology provided a very valuable grounding for her occult studies, a marriage of ideologies which comes through clearly in her work. After leaving the Golden Dawn, Fortune founded the Society of the Inner Light, which still operates and offers courses in occultism as well as an initiatory system of magical study. End of this.